My first product was $4.99. And we sold those products in volume over the course of 7 years. Why? Because I knew exactly who my market was. Then I created the product, and then I told them that I had it. Simple as that.
StayAllDay.com.
Pretty exceptional.
Work on your game.
I like the approach.
Work on your fucking game.
Everybody has relates to what Dre's saying in a different way.
Work on your game.
I like the way he thinks.
Work on your fucking game.
I like the frameworks that he's put together.
Work on your game.
And I would highly recommend it to anybody that's trying to work on their game.
Work on your fucking game.
I think it's a good approach. It's a different approach, too.
Hey, you, work on your game.
Gave me something really good.
Work on your game. DreAllDay.com.
And his philosophy makes a lot of sense.
Not only work on your game, perfect your craft.
Work on your game.
He knows how to communicate in such a fabulous way.
I can't say it enough.
Work on your game. You are now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there even when the success you've expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative, which is the go-getter energy that moves any one of us, including yourself, to go and make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. And then we put all this together into a series of frameworks, approaches, insights, strategies, and techniques all underneath the umbrella of one unifying philosophy that is called Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day, and welcome to the show. And today's topic is market first, product second. Before we get into this, I remind everybody of two things. One, my daily motivation text that I send out every day, guaranteed to have you focused, sharp, and on point. As soon as we get that going again, you'll be getting it straight to your phone. Just text me at my number, 305-384-6894. So once it gets going, you only have to do anything because it will already be earmarked to be on its way to your phone every single day or week. Secondly, Work on Your Game University. That's the place where I do all my coaching. You would like to be coached by me directly. Work with a very eclectic group of entrepreneurs, professionals, business owners, transitioning people from the military, from the sports world, from careers into business, entrepreneurs who already have a business, people who are already firmly established, people who are working their way up in the thought leadership space, people with brick and mortar businesses, food businesses, health businesses, clothing businesses. We work with a lot of different people because my superpower is my ability to break things down and put them back together. I am my skills, insight, strategy, and of course, mindset at the foundation of all of it. So you don't have to work in a certain industry. You don't have to be a certain type of person. You just have to be a person who is ambitious about your goals and you're serious about moving yourself forward. If that's you, go to workonyourgameuniversity.com, and that's where you can have me directly as your coach. Again, workonyourgameuniversity.com. With that all out of the way, let's get into the topic here today, which is market first, product second. Now, what this is about here is the order of operations that we all need to follow when creating products as entrepreneurs. So if you're creating something that you want to sell, doesn't matter what it is, it can be a physical product, it can be a service, it can be anything in between. I'm going to explain the what and why of this, market first, product second. I'm going to explain all of that here today. Everybody got it? Good. Point number one. Topic once again today is market first, product second. Number one. Your first step in selling anything of your own creation is identifying an audience of people who have a desire to solve a specific problem. I'm going to say that sentence again. Your first step in selling anything of your own creation is identifying an audience of people who have a desire to solve a specific problem. That's the first thing you must do. Who has a problem and a desire to solve it that I can help with? When you can answer that question, now you can move to the next step. But you have to ask and answer this question first. So from there, once you've asked and answered that question, then you can decide what product or service you may offer that can solve the problem of that person or those people. Understand that the word market, when we say market first, product second, I don't mean marketing, like putting your stuff out there and building a relationship with an audience and creating content and running ads and collaborating. That's marketing. When I say market, what market means is an audience of people who have a specific problem and they are looking for a solution which they would pay for. That's a market. Market is people who would pay to solve a specific problem. That's a market. Okay, so that's different from marketing. So don't get those confused. So it just means an audience of people. That's all market is. Starbucks, for example, identified a market of people who not just wanted coffee, because there were already plenty of companies out there selling coffee before Starbucks came to prominence. If you haven't read the Starbucks book, I forget the name of the book. I did read the book, but I believe it was Howard Schultz who wrote the book. But anyway, look up Howard Schultz's book. It is called Pour Your Heart Into It. This is the book, How Starbucks Built a Company One Cup at a Time, and it is written by Howard Schultz. And there are several books out there. He has another one called How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul. That one I have not read yet. I think that's a newer one. But the first one I read by Howard Schultz was, again, called Pour Your Heart Into It, How Starbucks Built a Company One Cup at a Time. And if you haven't read this book, you should read it. If you are a buyer of Starbucks or you're an investor in Starbucks, you should know about what's happening in the company. You should know why they are what they are. And even if you're not an investor in Starbucks, even if you don't drink coffee, I don't drink coffee, you should know how Starbucks became what they are, because they are a very successful business. And even though you may not be able to copy everything they do, there are some principles that you absolutely should follow from a company like them. Same with Amazon, same with Nike, same with Apple. And you should read the books of the people who have created these companies. So Jeff Bezos, there's a book called The Everything Store about Jeff Bezos. That's the Amazon guy. There's a book called Steve Jobs. He's the Apple guy. There's a book called Shoe Dog. That's by Phil Knight. He's the Nike guy. You should read these books, folks, so that you know how the people who have created these huge companies, why they did it, what they did, what is the reason behind their activities. And again, you want to find the principles behind what they did. You may not be able to follow their actions, but you can follow their principles, because principles are universal. They apply to everyone and everything the same way. Okay. Howard Schultz identified a market of people who wanted a third place. A third place is a place outside of home and work. Those are the first and second places. Home is the first place. Work is the second place. Those are places that people always go. People wanted a third place where they could hang out, build community, and basically just have a place they can go outside of just home and work. And if they happen to get some coffee in the process, so be it. There are many of you listening to this right now who may go into a Starbucks and sit down and hang out and never drink a sip of coffee, because Starbucks is a known third place. That's what a third place means. For some of you, the third place might be a CrossFit gym or just a gym period, or maybe some local lounge or bar that you hang out at. Starbucks came to be in America because Howard Schultz was in, I believe it was in Italy. It might have been Italy, the company he was in, but he was outside of the USA traveling. And he went to a coffee shop and he noticed that the people in the coffee shop would just hang out in the coffee shop. They didn't go to the coffee shop just to get some coffee and leave, like they do in, say, Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts been selling coffee for a long time, longer than Starbucks. And he noticed that people in this, I believe it was Italy, they would hang out in the coffee shop for hours, even though they were, had already drank their coffee. They were, might not even be getting coffee, but they would hang out in the coffee shop. And Howard Schultz said, why don't we bring the same experience to the United States? That was the general idea of bringing Starbucks to the USA. And the market was Howard Schultz betting that there were people who would actually hang out in the Starbucks, even though, again, they had already finished their coffee. They would hang out in the Starbucks much longer than it took for them to get and drink a cup of coffee. And let's look at Starbucks now. Starbucks is a place where some people use it as their actual office. They just go to Starbucks, they just sit there all day and work. I have been this person at times, and I have never ordered or drank a coffee from Starbucks. Not one ever in my life. But I have spent a lot of time at Starbucks. I create a lot of programs in Starbucks. I've written books in Starbucks. I've done sales conversations in Starbucks. I've done a lot of things in Starbucks and never drank coffee there because it's a third place. The point is, there was a market of people who were interested and it worked. So McDonald's, for example, they identified a market of people who wanted cheap food to be created and served quickly. That's what McDonald's wanted. Cheap food created and served quickly. Notice that McDonald's did not say they're going to make the best food. They said we're going to make cheap food and it's going to be fast. That's what McDonald's wanted. That was the market that they were looking for, and they were able to make it happen. There are books. My Ray Kroc is his name. Ray Kroc, K-R-O-C. He has books, and there have been books written about him and about McDonald's. You should read those. If you have not read them, you should read them. Again, even if you don't eat McDonald's, which I don't, but I have eaten it in the past. I actually worked at McDonald's at the time. OnlyFans. Everybody know what OnlyFans is? If you don't, Google it. OnlyFans identified a market of people who will pay money to get access to exclusive content from people who they like watching and listening to. That is what OnlyFans is. And again, OnlyFans is, of course, it's most socially known as a place where women, for the most part, and sometimes men as well, can sell sexually explicit photos and videos of themselves. Yes, that's one thing that OnlyFans is used for, but OnlyFans can also be used for example, I could take this show and I could put it on OnlyFans and have people pay $10 a month for access to the material via OnlyFans. That is something that people do on OnlyFans as well. You can put your articles or your blog posts or something behind a paywall on OnlyFans and have people pay for access to the material. So a market, folks, is just a group of people. That's all it is. People who are or might be willing to spend money for a thing. That's it. despite all the YouTube, basketball, even this show, I started as a writer and I am still a prolific writer. As a matter of fact, I send out emails damn near every day. I call this the Daily Game email. I want you to get this every day to your inbox completely for free. So simply go to workonmygame.com. That's workonmygame.com and get my emails directly to your inbox every day free of charge. Again, that's workonmygame.com. Question. Are you looking for a health and wellness upgrade that's as easy as sipping your morning coffee? Or if you're like me, you don't even drink coffee? Meet AG1, the superhero of all-in-one supplements. With just one scoop a day, you'll experience a powerhouse blend of 75 essential nutrients, vitamins, and minerals that will have you feeling like you can leap tall buildings in a single bound. You can feel like it, though. You don't even have to try it. AG1 is your personal health sidekick, packed with prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes to support optimal gut health. Now, what exactly does all that mean? That means you can say goodbye to those pesky nutrient gaps that you have in your system right now, and you probably don't even know it, and say hello to a vitality boost that will make you feel like you have superhuman strength. And this is all natural, clean stuff. But wait, there's more. When you take the leap and join the AG1 revolution right now, you'll unlock an incredible offer. You will enjoy a free one-year supply of vitamin D, which is a vital nutrient for a strong immune system and strong bones, with your first order. Plus, you're going to receive 5 free AG1 travel packs, which are perfect for staying on top of your health routine wherever life takes you. So if a comprehensive solution is what you need from your supplement routine, you're tired of having to pack 8 pills and 9 different supplements every time you go somewhere, or every time you wake up in the morning, you got to take all these different pills. You don't even know what they are. You can't remember what's what. You don't even know what the ingredients are on these things. Say goodbye to all of that and try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first order. Go to drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. That's drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. Check it out and start your journey to a healthier, happier you. Your body will thank you for joining the AG1 Super Squad. Point number 2. Topic once again is market first, product second. So now once you've identified your market, now you go and create your offer. And notice the order of operations. Now that you've identified the market, now you go and create your offer. Your market can help you create your offer, as you don't have to go and sit in a castle by yourself and figure out what your offer should be. Your market may be able to help you if you ask them the right questions. And depending on how intimate of a relationship you have with your market, they will help you create your product. Now, again, this is all by choice. This is not a happenstance. So things such as focus groups, if any of you ever heard of a focus group, these are groups that big companies will pay a lot of money for to bring people into a room, just regular consumers, and they're usually a cross-section of consumers. They're looking for a certain group of people. So, for example, if I'm selling kids' products, then I'm going to get an audience of moms who do all the shopping for their house. It's not just going to be anybody. So a focus group are people who will be questioned by researchers, again, people from a specific demographic, asked certain questions about certain problems that they may have and what they will be willing to buy in order to solve those problems, what they would be willing to pay for, or what they've already paid for, what they liked about it, what they didn't like about it. This is a form of a focus group, and a focus group is just a form of market research that companies do so that they know what they should create, what they should sell, how they should sell it, how much they should sell it for, all of these things. So this is not when a company like Target or Walmart or Amazon or Apple puts a product out there, they're not doing it blindly. They have done the research. They have done the legwork to know why we're selling what we're selling, why we're selling it at this price point, who would be interested in it, who we need to market this to, how we need to talk about it. They have a reason for doing all these things. They're not just randomly doing it. This is not me telling you that you need to go and invest in a focus group before you sell your product. I have never done it myself. Let me tell you who your focus group is. Your focus group is your audience of people who are already paying attention to you and maybe even already paying you money. They will tell you exactly what their challenges are. Sometimes they'll be able to even go further and tell you what their problems are and what problems they want or need to solve. And you base your products off of what they are telling you. That is your focus group. So when I created my first product, basketball training programs for ball players, one was for dribbling, one was for shooting. My focus group were the people watching me on YouTube and commenting on my videos, because I could see what they were saying. I could engage with them directly. They could tell me what their problems were. They could ask me questions, and I could tell them what I thought, what I was thinking of, what I might be able to do for them, etc. It's the same as a focus group. I was just doing it in the internet comments, and other companies may do it in actual focus group meetings that are designed as focus groups. But you have the exact same thing. The thing is, you need to have a relationship with your audience in order to have that focus group, which will help you better know what their problems are and what products or services you can offer that will solve their problems. Because when you're solving people's problems, they will give you money. So your market can help you create your offering. But again, you have to ask the right questions. So you want to find the right people, people who you want to sell to, and you want to ask them specific questions about what problems they may have and what they will be willing to give in order to solve those problems. I need you to understand this. Those of you who are marketers, do not be a timid marketer. You cannot be a timid salesperson. As Zig Ziglar said, timid salespeople have skinny kids. As long as you are willing to help them solve a problem, you can have an open conversation with them about, look, this is how much this would cost for me to solve this problem. Is this something you will be willing to pay for? It's fine to ask the question. They will answer. All right. And they will appreciate the fact that you're asking. Understand, folks, that we live in a society of consumerism. All of us are consumers. Look around in the room that you're in right now, or the car that you're in right now, or the office you're in right now. It's a whole bunch of things that you paid money for. All right, we are consumers. We have no problem buying when someone is selling us something that we actually want. So do not be timid about telling them, look, we can possibly solve that problem. This is what we're thinking about doing, and this is how much we think it might cost. Would you be interested in that? All right, understand that there are people in your audience who understand and they appreciate the fact that they have to pay for things that they want. And when they want it, they will pay for it. They will happily pay for it if you're solving their problem. So don't think that everything that you offer people has to be free, or that people are going to get skittish if you say that it's going to cost something. Again, look around in your house, office, car, etc. How many things have you paid for that are in there? Damn near everything in there, right? You pay for everything. All right, if you're watching this on video right now, you see all this stuff around me. All this stuff was paid for. I paid for all these things. I am a consumer as well as a salesperson. And hopefully you sell more than you consume. All right. And so you just want to make sure that you're selling your stuff. And if you can't sell it, if you don't ask for the money. Okay. So let people know what you are thinking about offering, what you could possibly offer, what it would cost, and see their feedback. And based on that research, you can decide whether it makes sense or not to move forward with your offer. Again, my first product was based on conversations I was having with an audience of people in the basketball space who told me exactly what they wanted. I told them, look, but I would charge for that product if I was to go create it, the basketball training programs. I said, would you all pay for it? And they said, yes, we would pay for it as long as it doesn't cost too much. That was the exact response I was getting, because I knew who I was dealing with, 13 to 21 year old young males. These are aspiring basketball players. They didn't have a ton of money. They didn't have careers yet. These are kids. So I figured, okay, what's the price point that would make sense? I said, okay, $5, $4.99. My first product was $4.99. And we sold those products in volume over the course of 7 years. Why? Because I knew exactly who my market was. Then I created the product, and then I told them that I had it. Simple as that. So if you go and create a product without knowing if there is a market for the product, in other words, you go write your book or create your course or whatever it is, and you don't know if there's anybody who actually wants it, then you are gambling with your time and your energy on something that might not work. In other words, when I say it doesn't work, it means it doesn't make you any money, even though you have invested resources into creating it. All right. The good thing about social media, everybody, I just told you this, and the content marketing space that we all occupy, is that your content is a great way to test out products before you invest too much resources into creating them. In other words, if you're thinking about creating a product about time management, even though time management is an oxymoron, technically, it's really self-management, self-accountability. But let's just say, you could create a bunch of content about time management and just see how your audience responds to it. If they're enthusiastically responding to the things that you're sharing, that is a preview of what would be in your product, then you know, hey, maybe I can move forward with this. Maybe you can take another step and say, hey, audience, I'm thinking about creating this product about time management. What do you all think? Would you invest in something like this? If I sold this for $97, what would you want in it? Let them respond. They will tell you. If people are in your audience and they know you, they like you, they trust you, they will give you feedback. Even if it's feedback that you are like, damn, maybe it's not as great of an idea as I thought it was. At least that's better than you creating it and then realizing nobody wants it, right? Doesn't that save you a lot of resources? Of course it does. But you got to be willing to have the conversation, folks. This is all part of your marketing game. The good thing about social media is that you can do this stuff for literally for free. All you got to do is put your material out there, ask the right questions, and listen to what the audience has to say. And when you are engaged with your audience, they will tell you exactly where they're at, what they want and what they don't want. You know those days in your life when you don't really feel like being at work, you don't really feel like doing the job that you're required to do, but you have to do it anyway? Yeah, those days. We call those days the third day. Everyone has them, no matter what it is that you do. And you need to, if you're going to be a professional, have a system for getting through those days, because they're going to happen. I wrote a book called The Third Day, The Decision That Separates the Pros from the Amateurs, that systematically and strategically coaches you on how to get through those days so you can give your best effort when you least feel like it. I will give you a free copy of the book. Again, it's called The Third Day. All you have to do is cover the shipping and go to thirddaybook.com. Again, that's thirddaybook.com. Get a free copy of that book, How to Separate Yourself, the Pro, from the Amateurs by showing up and giving your best effort when you least feel like it. Just go to thirddaybook.com. Point number three. Today's topic, once again, is market first, product second. Number three, if you already have products and offers out there and you do not follow the process laid out here today, there are two things you need to know, two things you need to do. Because I know for a fact that there are a lot of you who have products out there, you have offers and services out there. You did not follow what I'm talking about here today because you were not aware of it. And you're wondering, well, damn, the way Dre's talking right now, maybe I just got a dead product on my hands right here that I can't do anything with. What am I supposed to do? Good news is there is something that you can do. Can I tell you the two things you need to do? Good. Here they are. One, you need to look at your current offerings. Ask yourself, where in the market is there a need for what you're offering? That's the first question. Where in the market is there a need for what you're offering? Now, the inconvenient truth is that you may not be able to find a need right now. Maybe there is not a need. That means either A, you need to stop trying to make that product work and just let it, basically stop trying to make it work because it's not going to do anything. And you can use it in other ways. There are other ways to use it. If you're a member of Work On Your Game University, I can tell you 100 different ways to use a product, even if it's not selling very well. So if you have a product that's not selling very well and you want to know what to do with it, come into Work On Your Game University. I can show you a bunch of ways you can still use that product and still get value out of that product, even though it's not selling. And trust me, value, when I say value, I mean you can make money off it even when it's not selling. How is that possible? It's possible. Okay, so that's one thing. You might need to just say, okay, this product's just not going to work. Or B, keep looking until you find something that the market wants, which your product does offer a solution for. So if you do find something that the market wants that your product can solve, what you need to do is work on the positioning of your thing. Positioning simply means how you talk about your product. When you fix the positioning of your product, then it can help a whole lot of what you're doing with the product. What does positioning mean? Positioning just means, again, the conversation you're having about your product. And in the future, I'm going to do a whole episode on this very concept of positioning. The second thing you can do. So the first thing was realizing that you might not have a good product here. Two, before you create your next product, find out what the market actually wants and create your next product based around what the market wants rather than what you want to create. Create your next product based on what the market wants rather than what you want to create. This is the difference between the mindset of the entrepreneur versus the mindset of the artist. You see, the artist focuses on what they want to do and what they want to create and what they want the world to want in exchange. Whereas the entrepreneur focuses on what the market wants, what the market will respond to, and what the market is willing to pay for. The artist creates things because they feel like it. The entrepreneur creates things because there's money to be made from it. There is a difference. And you need to decide which one you want to be. Do you want to be an artist or do you want to be an entrepreneur? And one of them has to win. All right, the car has only one steering wheel. Which one is driving you, your artistry or your entrepreneurship? One or the other. And one of the things that, again, once you come into the university, you'll learn more about this, is you can find out directly from your audience and they can help you create your products in such a way that you can sell it before it even exists, because the people who tell you that they want it, they can give you the money right there on the spot. And again, it depends on what you're selling. It depends on how you choose to sell it. It depends on the conversation that you have. This is a communication skill, and it depends on the relationship you have with your audience when you do this. But this is all doable. It has been done before. I have done it myself to sell things before I even created them. So I knew there was a market because I got people to give me money before I even had it. And there's nothing stopping you from doing this, except the fact that you just don't know how to do it. I told you I was going to give you the what and why today here. I'm going to give you the how. Come into Work On Your Game University at workonyourgameuniversity.com, and I will show you exactly how this is done and how to make it work for yourself and in your business. But first, let's recap today's class, which is market first, product second. Number one, your first step in selling anything of your own creation is identifying an audience of people who have a desire to solve a specific problem. Then you can decide what can solve that problem, and then you put it out there. Again, many companies have done this. McDonald's did it. People wanted cheap food fast. Starbucks did it. People wanted a third place. Number two, Once you have identified your market, now go and create your offering. Your market can help you do this depending on the relationship that you have with your audience. Again, good thing about social media is that you can have direct communication with an audience of potential buyers without you spending any money. And it doesn't really cost you that much, and even in time, to get this information. You can just post something, ask a question, and read the replies, read the feedback. Number three, if you already have products and offers out there and you did not follow this process, there are two things you need to do. One, look at your current offers and ask yourself, where in the market is there a need for these? If there isn't one, there are still ways that you can use it. And two, before you create your next product, find out what the market actually wants and create your next product based around what the market wants rather than what you want to do. Again, don't be an artist, be an entrepreneur. Focus on what the market wants, what people are willing to pay for, and create that. Don't focus on what you want to give people and hope that they want it. That's artist mindset. And sometimes artists end up starving simply because they're not thinking like business people. I don't want to make sure you don't make that mistake. So with that said, folks, make sure you text me so you're in my community. My number's down below in the description. And as I've told you, workonyourgameuniversity.com. If you want to take a product or service you have out there that's not really doing what you wanted to do right now, and you still want to make money from it, you still want it to produce value, and you want to learn how to implement everything we talked about here today, plus more, go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. Work on your game. Dre, all day. While you are here, don't forget to text me so you can be part of my texting community where you can ask me questions, you can share challenges with me, you are messaging me directly, you can get a direct response from me because I do read and reply to my messages. My number again, 305-384-6894. One more time, 305-384-6894. Make sure you text me because you never know when I'm going to send a message that could be the one thing you need to hear, the one thing you need to do, the one insight you need to get that could change your life. Make sure you message me, 305-384-6894. People often ask me, Dre, is there any way that I could work with you directly? Is there any way that I could talk to you on a regular basis, just ask you questions, share with you what I'm doing, and just get your feedback and your insight on where I'm going personally and professionally? The answer is yes. And the further answer is there's only one place to do that. That is Work On Your Game University. That's the only place I do any coaching. It's the only place I work with anyone directly. All you have to do to get involved in the university is go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. There you'll see all your options, whether you want to schedule a call with us, join one of our group programs, and we go from there. I'll see you inside. Again, that's workonyourgameuniversity.com.